Welcome back. This is the 9th program in our Accelerated NLP training series. As we continue now through our interventions, we're going to move on to anchoring. Why don't you turn to page 46 in your manual? So what is anchoring anyway? What is anchoring? Well, it's a process of stimulus response, and the first person to notice anchoring was a guy named William Twitmire, if you've heard of him. It was Bill Twitmire who first, in I think it was 1902, realized that when he was a medical doctor, and he would hit a patient on the knee with that little hammer, you know, that they have. Well, he'd hit a patient on the knee, and he noticed that their knee jerked. And so in 1902, he wrote a paper about the knee-jerk reflex, which he presented to the American Medical Association. Now, the thing that he also did was he noticed also that if he told the patient that he was going to hit their knee and then hit their knee, and he did it several times, he also noticed that sometimes when he told the patient he was going to hit their knee, before he could hit their knee would jerk. Sounds like an anchor to me. Anyway, he wrote the paper called Knee-Jerk Reflex, presented in 1902, and I don't think it went very far. I don't think it, you know, a lot of people in the AMA were real interested, except for the hammer thing and the knee-jerk. But the notion of anchoring didn't get picked up, except I think a young Russian researcher named Ivan Pavlov read it, and in 1904, he presented his paper to the Russian Medical Society called Stimulus Response. And by 1904, he'd been doing, you know, work with dogs, woof, and... he's barking. Oh, no. He was doing work with dogs and doing anchoring and doing stimulus response tests. Actually, what Pavlov would do is he'd take a dog and he'd show the dog a steak and ring a bell. Or actually, it was a tuning fork. And he'd ring a bell and show the dog a steak. And he got those two things, the stimulus, the steak and ringing a bell or the tuning fork, at the same time. And then eventually he noticed that when he rang the bell, the dogs would salivate without the steak being present. And so he wrote his paper in 1904, and that eventually became behavioral psychology. Actually, in 1936, Andrew Salter wrote a really nice book called Conditioned Reflexes, and that's really a lot of the work in behavioral psych. It came originally from Pavlov. The interesting thing, however, is that we in NLP picked up on the idea of anchoring and began to notice that people are also subject to anchoring too. I'm not calling you a dog necessarily, but people are subject to anchoring. How many, I often ask this question, how many people in a classroom, how many people were subject to an anchor today? And I have people raise their hands. And of course, the fact is that everyone probably was. For example, I mean, how many anchors are there? Your alarm clock in the morning, you're driving along in the car and there's a stoplight, certain advertising slogans. In fact, I can't even say in a class, even today, and this was 20 or 30 years ago, I can't even say in a class today, Winston tastes good like a, and people will fill it in. So those are all anchors. Oh, the phone. Here's the other one is the phone. The phone rings. Do you get up to get it? You bet. Sometimes I'm up to get the phone even before I think about it. So these are all anchors, and behavioral psychologists believe that our behavior is a result of anchors. Our behavior is actually a series of anchors that is a series of conditioned reflex. And they believe that we're simply a conditioned reflex machine and that the learning of new things is simply a matter of setting up new anchors and connecting new things with those anchors. Now, a swish pattern that we've learned is an example of doing a visual anchor. Now, some people in NLP believe that NLP is actually only anchoring and reframing. Some people believe that anchoring is one of the major parts of NLP, and I would say it plays a pretty good part in it. So we're going to talk about anchoring today, and we'll look at page 46. Now, what is the definition of an anchor? Let's go back and define it a little bit.